You're listening to Grant Edwards, 88.1 FM, The Wireless, the world at five.
And in final news, General Sir Patrick Sanders says he wants to build a citizen army to help push back against the Russians. Good luck with that, sir. After what you've done to real men of this country, all you've been left with is little people who don't know what a woman is, cry at the first sign of a cold, and have only ever used their hands in order to apply moisturiser, makeup or lube. So I don't know what citizen army that you're going to be building, sir, but I wish you all the very best. That's the news you need out of batshit bonkers Britain.
Can you kill yourself by holding your breath?
No. No, you cannot, Rick.
That was a request, not a question.
Why don't you... You're black. How come you don't believe white privilege exists? What you see?
Well, because I am black in color, but I don't have that dark mentality that most black people have.
Clearly.
I see, she said clearly, mm-hmm. I see that white people have the same struggles and things that we have in that.
What type of struggles do they have?
They have to make their marriages work. They have to make their children, help their kids grow up in the right way so that they can earn a living and be independent.
But they also have the majority of their fathers at home.
Right, and the reason for that is starting to change somewhat now, but the reason for that is because they are taking responsibility for that, whereas black men and women are not taking responsibility for that as they did prior to the civil rights movement. Black people are blaming it on their lack of self-control and self-containment. They're blaming it on white people while white people are working hard to keep it going.
I own 15,000 houses.
15,000 houses, okay.
Nothing wrong with buying a house.
Yeah.
Difference is I use debt to buy it.
Okay.
And I pay no taxes. It's not the house, it's not the stock, it's not the bond. It's not the ETF, it's your brains. So I would rather use debt and pay no taxes.
Can you explain that? How do you buy houses without...
What do you mean debt?
Capitalism.
Right.
Borrow.
Use debt and we pay no taxes.
Yeah.
That's what I teach.
That's Robert Kiyosaki, 4 minutes past seven. Good morning to you. The new rise of shaken baby syndrome. Now, Steve Kirsch is getting letters... He's getting reports of parents who had their children vaccinated subsequently being accused of shaken baby syndrome and had their children taken from them. Their crime? Following their doctor's advice. Parents who follow their physician's advice to vaccinate their kids can find that their child subsequently develops encephalitis soon after vaccination, more likely when multiple vaccines are given at once. And even more likely if the child has an infection at the time of the vaccination, which then becomes a permanent brain injury. Their doctor then reports the parents to Child Protective Services for shaken baby syndrome and their child is taken away. Physicians are never to blame, of course, because vaccines are safe and effective, aren't they? While this is unlikely to happen to any of my readers who know better than to ever vaccinate their kids, it is happening to parents who are not aware that vaccine risks outweigh the benefits because they rely on their doctors for medical advice. And that's as Katie Hopkins said, don't rely on them. The DPT, that's Delta Papa Tango, vaccine injuries were also often attributed to shaken baby syndrome. The SIDS was partially created to cover up vaccine deaths. I agree. This is becoming more prevalent now with COVID vaccines being part of the mix. And he's got lots of people there that have written. And I'm 76 and reading this, I'm remembering of the young couples I knew. Well, those babies died of crib death. Yes, cot death, we call it here in New Zealand. I think a lot of cot deaths were vaccine deaths. Yep. Now, there's two must-see films that you've got to have a look at, and they're free. On one of them, if you're not a subscriber, it's $4. That's at the Epic Times. Now, these ones are highly recommended by me and also Steve Kirsch and me. The Unseen Crisis, this film documenting the stories of the vaccine injured, is free if you are an Epic Times subscriber. Otherwise, it's $4. For example, Maddie DeGare was permanently disabled within 24 hours after her Pfizer shot in the clinical trials with 1,331 kids aged 12 to 16 getting the shot. 1 in 1,000 kids being permanently disabled due to the shot should have stopped the trial. But Pfizer covered it up. Never reported the actual injury. They misreported it as abdominal pain, including in their paper published in the MEJM. no complaints from the mainstream medical community about scientific fraud ever surfaced. The fraudulent paper is still published in the MEJM. The paper says there are no vaccine-related serious adverse events and fewer overall severe adverse events. That is a blatant lie. But the MEJM isn't going to retract the paper despite the clear proof of scientific fraud, and doctors will believe what's in the literature, not what is obvious in plain sight, because that's the way science works. In an email he sent to me, FDA Commissioner, FDA Commissioner Janet Woodcock, promised to investigate, but no investigation has ever taken place, not from the FDA, the CDC, Pfizer, or anyone else. America is being lied to by Pfizer and these agencies, and only Senator Ron Johnson is trying to hold them accountable by bringing public attention to this case. In the film, you'll see Maddie before and after the shot, and you'll hear the tragic stories of other vaccine victims as well. Another film worth looking at, the documentary by filmmaker David Johnson, is called The Epidemic of Fraud, and it is The Truth is Better Than the Pill. Davidson used to make ads promoting the vaccines until he was red-pilled by the evidence he uncovered. The film ends with Davidson writing to Janet Woodcock, asking her to explain what he had found during the making of the film. Woodcock's reply was one of the highlights for me. It tells you everything you need to know. The film is free. Just register your email address on the website in order to receive the link to view the full film. This way, John can track how many people have seen it. Please watch these films and share them with your friends who are open-minded. Some people are just willingly ignorant, so it's almost not worth sending to them. It's important that we educate as many people as possible. It is. We've got to stop our kids being vaccinated. One person wrote in, Bill Poindexter, he says, I think the focus needs to be shared with the general public that there's no viruses. That's the biggest picture. Yeah, I agree with you, mate. There's no viruses. That's the biggest picture that we need to be waking people up to. I think everybody knows that there's potential side effects with medications and vaccines anyway. I don't know about that. But I think the bigger picture is letting people know that many false illnesses were out there in that are out there in the world. They're just false. They're just problems with your body, with the terrain inside. You're not well. You're not eating good food. You're not getting enough sunlight, enough sleep, drinking bad water, bad living, bad food, too many carbohydrates, and that's why you get sick. That's how it happens, isn't it? Let's go over to Radio New Zealand and we'll have a listen to the latest bulletin. Just do a refresh on that. Morning Rural. What about Rural Report? Haven't had Rural Report. Should we listen to that? Could be too long. Well, it's only a short one. Let's have a listen to Rural Report. It's important for us here in New Zealand.
Rural news. Let's get serious now because there is a drought at the top of the...
I think this is Mark Leishman.
South, and the government's starting to talk about it, but obviously this is of real concern.
Yes, well, the land is so dry it's brown and even grey in some parts of the top of the South Island as farmers battle with the drought. Agriculture Minister Todd McClay says the districts are in the grip of an intense dry spell, prompting the government to classify the dry conditions across Marlborough, Nelson and Tasman as a medium-scale adverse event yesterday. Federated Farmers Marlborough President Evan White told Checkpoint they wrote the first of two letters to government officials warning them about the extreme conditions in early February. Evan White says while getting the classification took time, he's pleased and relieved to have it, as it will give farmers a much-needed helping hand, and there's a lot of work ahead for them now.
Blenheim's received its lowest rainfall in the last 9 months in 94 years. So soil moisture deficit is at an all-time high. It's pretty severe. And, you know, summer crops, they failed through lack of water. Now do farmers spend more money putting in winter crops when they don't have the moisture? So what we're saying is this event is going to have a long tail to it, and it's probably going to be spring before we come out of it. Number one, we need several good rains to really soak into the soil to get it from grey, brown, whatever it is now, to get it back to green. then grow. And of course, we're getting well through March, so the chance of getting a really good autumn growth is reducing by the day. So it's going to take a long time to work through this.
The classification will unlock further supports and tax breaks for farmers as they struggle to get crops in the ground, and many are already working through their winter feed supplies. $20,000 was allocated to the area's Rural Support Trust to distribute last month, and we'll have more from the trust at midday, Corin.
Yeah, now across the Tasman, there's a wine glut, is there?
Yes, there is, and it's having an impact here. A wine sector boss in New Zealand is predicting an increase in wine exports for us and an expansion in the area of grapes planted here. This comes in the wake of grim news across the Tasman, where millions of grape vines are being destroyed to rein in overproduction that's crushed grape prices there. Australia has 2 years' worth of production in storage. New Zealand Wine Growers Chief Executive Philip Gregan says he's concerned for his colleagues in Australia, but he says looking at New Zealand wine globally, the sector's in a good place.
The trends we are seeing globally, a shift from red wine to white wine, generally mean that New Zealand is pretty well placed in terms of the market positioning. So we're not anticipating any significant issues for New Zealand at all. I think we're going to continue to see ongoing vine planting in New Zealand as our exports continue to grow. There's been a challenging few months with destocking of supply chains, which built up during COVID times, but our in-market performance for New Zealand wine sales continues to be very strong.
Philip Gregan says Australian growers have suffered a double hit with very high tariffs suddenly imposed in its key market, China, and a rapid swing away from those cheaper red wines, though Beijing is reconsidering the need for those tariffs, sparking some hope for Aussie wine growers.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Rural news. There we are. Okay, now let's go to business news, see what's happening there.
Right, time now to get through to our business reporter, Anan Zaki, with Ngā Kōrero, Kai Pākehi. Kia ora, Anan, how are the markets looking this morning?
Kia ora, Ingrid. Wall Street's weaker after hotter than expected wholesale inflation data from the US comes after stronger than expected consumer prices as well. That's likely muddied bets around the timing of the Federal Reserve's first rate cut. Their next rate decision is next week. Chip stocks are also extending their losses. Nvidia down more than 3%. The Dow Jones average has fallen 0.4%, the S&P 500 down 0.5%, and the Nasdaq down 0.6%. Local Top 50 trimmed its losses to close just 1 point lower at 11,808. And the Kiwi trading at 61.3 US cents and 93.1 Australian.
And in your main bulletin, you're looking at the housing shortage.
Yes, 150,000 new houses are needed in the next 5 years to meet demand, according to Westpac. Consumers are readying themselves for a difficult year ahead, and New Zealand is not as globally connected as it once was. All that and the latest from the markets just after 10 to 7.
Great, we will hear from you then. Thanks very much, Anand.
All right, 14 minutes past 7. Good morning. Victims of the March 15th mosque shootings remembered on the 5th anniversary. And enough is enough. A Wellington mum is fighting to make streets safer for young women. Blood seeping through his hoodie, a woman describes the moments of sudden attack, a hammer attack on a youth in McDonald's in Auckland. And Three Waters repeal. It's not repeal. It's just been pushed out. Don't tell lies. In added complication for councils, it is an added complication. Yeah, well, just stop it. Stop it. Stop following the World Economic Forum and start listening to the people that pay the rates, the people that pay you in your position. Stop doing that. Start collecting the rubbish properly. Start doing that. Start tidying up the streets a bit better and fix those friggin' potholes, for goodness sake. Or the whole country. It's actually, it's a global thing. It's international, not global. It's an international thing. Everyone on earth is complaining in the Western world because they're trying to destroy the West. They've got to bring the West down to bring in the New World Order. their World Economic Forum plans. That's just the same old pig with new lipstick on. Now, poverty, don't judge the book by the cover. Kiwi Mum's advice says a number of children are in poverty. So they look like they're all right. They've got the flash shoes, you know, and the mobile phone, but apparently they're in poverty. Kiwi Mum, who struggled to pay her child's large medical bills, says not to judge the book by its cover after she had to turn to a charity for help. Data by Tauranga Statistics New Zealand, published last month, shows that 202,000 kids are living below the poverty line after deducting housing costs in the year to June 2023. This is an increase of about 22% on the year prior. The data shows that two of the three primary measures for child poverty increased. It's harrowing, said Suva Glasgow, chief executive of Variety New Zealand, talking about the poverty data. And what it does show are that children are living in temporary and emergency accommodation, so they're not even counted in the numbers. Oh, yeah, of course. She said to AM host Melissa Chan Green, she said the number of children, this is Tamariki here, number of children living in poverty is much higher. I wonder if she really said that. Didn't put a quote next to it. She probably didn't say this, add that. See, News Hub, this is why you're going down the toilet, News Hub, because you're ramming Maori language down our throats. What do they call it? Te reo now. You never used to be called that. It was just Maori language, wasn't it? You know, like Russians speak Russian. Don't they? Oh, gosh, I'm wearing of this. I don't know. We don't even know if this is true, any of this stuff, do you? You just don't know. Don't know whether it's true at all. What have we got? Rates. Why rates nationwide are going up so much? The problem may only get worse as construction costs soar, according to an expert. This news just out. The average rate rises of 15% with no relief in sight. Kiwi homeowners are facing an average rate rise of 15% over the coming year. I think Whangarei, what have they got, 17.2%? Some of them have got over 20% rate rises. Local Government New Zealand, LGNZ, came to that figure by collating the planned rate rises of 48 of the country's 78 councils. Among those, why don't you get them all? Among those likely to see the biggest rate hikes this year are Canterbury residents, who are facing a hefty 24.2%, yeah, that's what I thought, average rate rise. Hamiltonians are likely to see a jump of 19.9%, while Whangarei is looking at a record hike of 17.2%. LGNZ commissioned a report from Infometrics principal economist Brad Olson to show why rates were rising so much. It found over the past 3 years, bridges, sewer systems and roads had all become more than 25% more expensive to build. Bridges, meanwhile, were an eye-watering 38%. I'll build the bridges for you. I can build bridges. Piece of cake. I could do them way cheaper. Give me a call if you want your bridge built. I do these amazing ones, actually. Make them out of Duragal, very high tensile steel. I can make them up to 12 metres long. I can actually join them up and make them as long as you like. Very nice, very attractive too. Put lights in them, make them look pretty. Put a little. What we do is we put a solar panel there, and then at night time you've got lovely lights on the farm, and you go across if you've got to go out to see a cat, some cows or something. In the middle of the night you can just you go across your bridge. We put little lights so you can see where you're going, and little pretty lights so it looks like Christmas. So anyway, so they've put together the local government New Zealand vice president and Lower Hutt mayor Campbell Barry. He said councils were trying to grapple with what projects to prioritise. Yeah, well, where are you putting the money? It's because they're funneling money into WIF projects, World Economic Forum projects. They are. They're doing all the stupid shit, aren't you? But you live in cycle ways and all your nonsense and looking after some flipping endangered species. Just stop wasting our money, you halfwits. We've got too many halfwits, too many nitwits are in government and in positions of power in local government local government, yeah. There we are. And what else have we got here? Look, Hamilton Council, they explain the cost behind their 19.9% rate rise. Council says it's now cost $5.60 per resident per day to run the city, with more than half. We'll stop. They're putting money into black ops, folks. That's where it's going. We know that from Rosa Corey. Now, let's listen to Rosa, because she'll actually tell you why this is happening. So it's not just happened now all of a sudden. It's something that's been going on for quite some time. They're funneling money out. Rosa. We will hear from Rosa Corey. Here she is. It's called The Agenda, The 21st Agenda. Have a listen to Rose. It's just a 5 minute, not long. You'll be right. 22 minutes past it is. 22 minutes past seven. I'm away at eight, and then we'll be back tomorrow morning, possibly. What's tomorrow morning? No, not tomorrow. It's Saturday. I won't be back tomorrow. Possibly Monday.
This is a plan that was agreed to by 179 nations. It's called The Agenda for the 21st Century. It's a totalitarian state being developed right now all over the world. It is the inventory and control plan. Inventory and control of all land, all water, all minerals, all plants, all animals, all construction, all means of production, all food, all energy, all information, and all human beings in the world. And this is a plan that was agreed to by 179 nations back in 1992. It's a United Nations plan. It's called the Agenda for the 21st Century. And so many of us around the world think that, sustainable development, it just sounds so great. Isn't it about recycling and creative reuse and creating energy and food resources for everyone? And the answer is no, it really is not. It's about moving populations into city centers, concentrated city centers, and clearing them out of the rural areas. All systems have to be brought into harmony in order to control them all. Because when systems don't meet, when they're out of balance or not in sync with one another, they can't be controlled centrally. And the goal of Agenda 21 is one world government and total control from a central unit. Every nation that signed on to Agenda 21 has its local Agenda 21 plan. People in the United States are completely unaware of this. If I go out and talk about this, the United States press will attack me and calls me, which is totally ridiculous. It is a, but it's not a theory. It's a fact. The three pillars of United Nations Agenda 21 are economy, ecology, and equity, the three E's. And everyone sort of thinks that they know what that means, the idea of social equity. It must mean that, well, everyone's going to have access to clean water and clean air, and no one's property is going to be used as a dumping ground because they are at a poverty level. But really what social equity is about impoverishing huge portions of the population and bringing down the developed nations. Everything that we're looking at now is destined to collapse our economies. It's a totalitarian state being developed right now all over the world. And what major corporations want in this development is to be able to have full movement of workers without borders or boundaries, to be able to move their goods through without regulations, and to reduce wages. And so this is the goal. So this is what you find with social equity. And of course, economy and ecology is about, these are the three circles, economy, ecology, and social equity. And where they meet in the center is balance. But really that balance is a communitarian balance. So it's not balance of well-being of the people. What it is it's a balance for corporations so that they can exploit and control and have populations in an area in tightly packed, dense areas so that they can be surveilled and managed. And this is what that balance looks like as far as the development of a totalitarian state is. The mainstream media is owned by five major corporations, and you're not going to get this information from the mainstream press. So you need to be your own press. You need to educate yourself. You need to get out there and educate your neighbors, your community, your real community. You need to help your children understand that they're being indoctrinated from pre-kindergarten to postgraduate school. All of us have a responsibility to ourselves and to others. This is true community, to work for personal freedom. And always remember that even though we work as a group, if we do work as a group, we're all individuals in those groups, and we answer only to ourselves. And this is essential. It's essential as As free human beings, this is what we are. We are free, and we need to continue to be free. And I do believe that we will win, but we have to become aware that there is a fight and then make our friends and our neighbors and our community aware as well and work together.
That's President Rosa Corey. She's no longer with us. Poor woman. I think she had cancer, and so she passed away. She's from California. She was. And now she's in her long home. But she did great work for the freedom movement and the truth movement as well. And so I hope you're enlightened by that. And so now you know why your rates are through the roof, don't you? No, that's because they've been funneling money other places. That's what they have been. Hey, did you know this about salt water?
On my first trip to the Holy Land, I took a water bottle and I filled it up with Dead Sea. You can see it right here. 33% salinity. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1 says, the new earth will have no more sea. Why is that? Well, we're going to have fresh water, Revelation 22:1, but no more salt water. So I looked up. There's a number of reasons. Let me give you one. The Harvard University School of Public Health, the Chan School of Public Health, says this. Salt is a food preservative. And it tells us here, as I'm looking, that the bacteria cannot thrive in the human body if you have a high amount of salt there. As a matter of fact, even a small amount of sodium, it conducts nerve impulses, helps relax the muscles, maintains balance between water and minerals. In other words, salt is necessary on this earth to keep you functioning, but you're going to have an immortal body, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 53 through 57. God has blessed you with immortality, incorruptibility, no more need for outside sources of health. A wonderful blessing.
Isn't that a wonderful blessing? 29 minutes past 7, we'll have, I was going to say we're going to have TNT Radio News, we're not. We're negotiating with them. But they've laid off a lot of people. Oh, yes, they have. They had 46 presenters. Now they're down to 26. 20 have gone, including Germ. Remember Germ Warfare had a podcast? He's gone, the South African. And looks like Katie Hopkins has gone as well. That'll be a bit depressing for her. So go over to her YouTube channel or her Rumble channel, wherever she is, and support her because she needs all the help she can get. She's great. She gives us good stuff, so why not support her financially? Let's do that. Now we're looking at New Zealand news, and should we do our little thing? Yeah, do a little thing. I'll play it for you now. All right, you do that.
88.1 FM, The Wireless, New Zealand News.
Right, we're looking at New Zealand news at almost 7:30, and the town no longer is a dumping ground for Auckland's unwanted trains. Work has begun on getting rid of the old Auckland commuter trains, blighting a central south North Island town once famous for its railway. The carriages were dumped in Tongariro about 8 years ago and has since deteriorated, becoming a major eyesore along the town's main street. Over the next fortnight, 27 of the 57 carriages of Tongariro will be scrapped. They're just smashing them up with a digger by the look of it, looking at the photos, and their remains carted off to Auckland where they came from. Rob Cribb from among those is applauding. He's applauding the decision this week. He's very happy. Residents told Radio New Zealand they felt like Taramanui is a dumping ground for Auckland's unwanted trains, and Kiwi Rail had not explained why the once famous train yard became a metal graveyard. Yeah, they look terrible, especially when the local kids get in there with the graffiti. But why couldn't they have sold all those trains off? Because they'd make wonderful accommodation, wouldn't they? Why didn't the council pop in there, step in and do something there? Or, you know, just people, you know, you can do something. You're out on your farm, have a railway carriage, you have a little toy railway. Anyway, just pull it around with a tractor or something. Or you could just set it up, you know, as accommodation. Anyway, Kāinga Ora, what's that? You've got to think now, don't you? Housing New Zealand. How they canned a controversial social housing development in Auckland. They're putting it in the brand new posh area. They wanted to do it, but they got a lot of flack from the locals, so that was good. They've given up on a controversial social housing development in Auckland, saying it is no longer financially viable. The development on Bonair Crescent in the northern suburb of Millwater has been controversial since the beginning, with the state landlord carrier apologising for the missing a step and not opening the project for community consultation. Yeah, you mongrels. The development was initially the construction of two-storey townhouses on Millwater Street and would add 37 two-bedroom units of social housing to the list. However, after complaints and a petition from the community against the social housing development, Housing New Zealand paused the construction before it even started. Yeah, but I bet you spend a lot of money on planning, wasting people's money. This is where the money goes. In December, the state landlord said, that's us, we're the landlord, that you guys are just looking after things for us and you're making decisions that we're not happy with. They said they decided to take a wider look at the region in the statement sent to Radio New Zealand on Thursday. Housing New Zealand Deputy Chief Executive for Auckland and Northland, Caroline Butterworth, said delivering public homes in that area was no longer financially viable and the state landlord was going to sell the land. Costs facing builders and developers across the country have risen significantly, and the economic environment's not that. It's just that everyone in the local area are pissed off. They don't want flipping gang members living next to them. You idiots. God, you idiots. Oh, I need to go back to sleep. Get some rest. I've got some building to do today. Anyway, so that's them. So she said that Housing New Zealand remained committed to exploring opportunities to increase the supply. Oh, bullshit. Just give the landlords their 100% tax deductibility of finance, not for 80%. Give it all to them, so that they can be more of them, and also make it easier for landlords to get for people that want to get ahead and buy property and become landlords. Make it easier for them to get loans, so that there can be more property out there. So what the communists wanted to do is have it all in the hands of the government. Take it out of the hands of the individual. They were trying to bankrupt the middle class. That's what they're trying to do. Anyway, not getting away with it. Not on my watch. Now, voting on the future of Wellington's housing, the city council has opted for denser housing. You see, they're still at it. Threats of further Wellington water restrictions recedes. Wellingtonians appear to have ducked. Further water restrictions for now, thanks to household efforts to save water and cooler weather. And then you've got dolphins being in Sale GP. What have they got to do with dolphins? The endangered dolphins could shut down the Sale GP. Oh, give us a break. Dolphins aren't stupid. They can travel at huge speeds. Oh, I don't know if they'd go as fast as one of those catamarans. But anyway, no, they wouldn't. Nowhere near it. But, oh, no, just give it up, man. Give it up. Yeah, dolphin tastes delicious. Anyway, have you ever tasted dolphin? It's absolutely delicious. How do I know? I read a book about it. I read the crews of the Cachalot. They ate dolphin. That was all part of the meals. And a viable but risky former Whakapapa ski field bidder, the top bidder to take over Whakapapa ski field, who pulled out of the deal, is still confident the ski field could be commercially successful. New Zealand Airports Association wants greater fair transparency. Yeah, New Zealand Air. It says that Air New Zealand is blaming Auckland Airport when it's their own high record domestic airfares and cost add-ons driving up the cost to consumers and method, scale and details of Garraman's shoplifting has been revealed over at rnz.co.nz. And that's the heading. Court documents explain how the former Green Party MP stole clothes. So want to get some information on how to do some stealing? Go to RNZ and they'll tell you all about it from shops in Auckland and also Wellington. And there's been a rare UFO cloud out of this world. Beam me up, Scotty. It might look like a spaceship, but really it's just there is a scientific meteorological explanation for it. Man's been arrested after alleged stabbing in Papamoa Bay of Plenty. The man was seriously injured in the incident. And migration figures highest on record. The number of arriving in New Zealand over the past year has more than doubled those leaving. Two in custody after armed police swarm Auckland suburb. This has just come through. A report someone had a gun in a car led to a major police call-out. Dunedin Council takes Aurora Energy proposal public. Selling the company would allow repayment of Aurora's forecast debt and create an investment fund for their remaining money, according to the mayor. A police ask for help to identify the Gulf Harbour victim of a homicide probe launch. I think that's the body in the plastic bag and the plastic bag and the plastic bag. Police say the victim, whose body was pulled out of the water by a fisherman, Middleton, his name was, and is a woman of Asian descent and is small in stature, and that's been treated as a homicide. Television presenters, food bank, they need food banks, A TV presenter's food bank cuts 500 families as times get tough. Dave Letelli's food bank is in crisis after funding cuts, but he's got a plan to help people in a different way. So what's your plan? I'll have a look. There it is. Yeah, the food bank run by boxer turned TV presenter Dave Letelli is in crisis after that. Okay. He in 2022, Kiwi Bank local hero of the year, was he a homo, come out, hero. He says the South Auckland-based BBM Food Share can now only assist 200 families in a week, despite huge demand for its services. We are a very, very tough, we're in a tough space, he said. I have considered closing it down, but I just can't bring myself to do it, so I have to pivot. That pivot is the launch of a recruitment agency, BBM Recruitment, which aims to provide jobs and, oh, that's a good idea, and a wraparound support for people returning to the workforce. Yeah, Letelli, he is also making a public pitch to take on the government's proposed new boot camp programs for young offenders, saying the traditional boot camp model doesn't work. Oh, how do you know? You don't look old enough to even remember it. But a more sustained version would just send them off to the army. I'll tell you what needs to be done. Just go over to our website here at Liberty NZ, and this is what needs to be done. 22 minutes away from 8, I'll just go down to Monty, head of the Expeditionary Forces, and Monty will tell you what needs to be done. Just got to find him. Down we go. Where are you, Monty? Oh, just can you imagine if a small handful of ridiculously wealthy, powerful psychopaths could make you believe anything they wanted to simply by controlling what they put on TV? Imagine that happened. Okay, here is what's missing. This is what's missing today. It's national service. That's what needs to happen. From the point of view of our boys, says Monty, it is extremely good for them. A boy comes to do his national service, and he probably goes away and he does a bit of fighting, a bit of killing somewhere, and then he comes back a man. So then, when he goes to university, he is a man, totally changed, sadly, politically, in the climate today, and that was back when he wrote this in 1974. We cannot have it. It's all very well for them to serve the community and make money prior to university, but materialism can be a danger, says Monty. You say to the boy at school, what are you going to do? What are you going to go into? He says, I'm going into dad's business. You see, he wants to make money more than he wants to serve his country, says Monty. And that's a problem. Coupled together with that is the politicians today have no definitive plan or vision for the country's future, for the well-being of the country. So young people are disillusioned with their leaders. My best advice for politicians is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Must have been a Christian, Monty. Good on you, Monty. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Field Marshal Montgomery, Monty, commander of the Allied forces during World War II, in an interview in Canada in the 1970s. Lovely photograph of him there, and you'll find that over at Liberty NZ on Facebook. And there's also one of me there.
I think there's quite a very powerful lot of gears in there.
Yeah, looking at my contraption there, my Heath Robinson contraption, and my barbecue roasting beans. There we are, and apparently there's some new information that's just come out from News Hub, apparently to do with how much caffeine is too much. Everything you should know about caffeine intoxication, I didn't even know there was such a thing. Maybe that's what's wrong with me. Caffeine intoxicated. For many of us, in the morning routine is not complete without a cup of joe. The National Coffee Association reports the average American drinks just over 3 cups daily. I drink more than that. I drink 3 cups in an hour between 5 and 6. Some people opt to get their caffeine through energy, and mine's really powerful too, through caffeine pills. Oh, you idiots. Why would you do that? You can have a nice drink. While everyone's tolerance is different, there are limits on how much caffeine people can have in their systems. Jittery fingers, I don't have any of that. And racing heartbeat, don't have that either, probably because they eat lots of meat. Is common signs that you're over-caffeinated. or maybe I make mine too weak. My daughter says, it looks a bit weak. No, it's not. Tastes right. I like it. In rarer scenarios, an overconsumption of caffeine can lead to a state called caffeine intoxication or caffeine overdose. Caffeine intoxication occurs when a person has dangerously high levels of caffeine in the system. It creates a spectrum of unpleasant severe symptoms, such as trouble breathing and seizures. I've never had any of this. There are... it's you smoking that causes me to cough. There are a few cases where people have died from caffeine intoxication. Oh, I bet you they didn't die from that. While rare, yeah, I bet you it is, there is always a potential of caffeine intoxication if a person is drinking irresponsibly. Recognising the signs and factors are piss off. Go and have a cup of coffee. The king, he's been admitted to hospital again. Page not found. Oh, maybe it wasn't. Maybe that's old news. I went down, I found it, and it said King. King admitted to hospital. Oh, where's it gone? I don't know. Anyway, so what else have we got on our Facebook page? Well, let's see. We've got, if inflation can't be fixed, says the politician over the television, and the guy sitting in the chair says, your election was. Yep. And what else have we got there? How dare you? Oh, yeah, we put all our, you know, all the world, morning world stuff. Crunch, not smooth. Now, here we are. This is some lady, what's she saying there? Democrats voting against the act passing. I'll click under that. I have to go try and go back to the beginning of it. Oh, no, we're not doing that. Here we go. See if it'll...
The Laken Riley Act was just passed in the US. This means that any illegal alien who commits a crime, any crime, can be detained and then deported back to their home country.
Good.
The act was passed with an overwhelmingly majority of 251 people against 170, including over 30 Democrats that voted for this act. The disturbing thing is 170 Democrats voted against passing this act, meaning that if illegal aliens committed a crime, they would still be allowed to stay in the U.S. This
Shocking.
Shows how much the government actually cares about its citizens.
Yes.
If this act was in place, Laken Riley would still be alive because
yep.
this person that killed Laken Riley had already shoplifted, but nothing had happened to him.
Like Goldwitz,
the Laken Riley,
Goldwitz Garima, she's shoplifted too. I wonder if she could shoot someone. You never know. One little crime. According to the mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani, he says that they've done studies on this, and people that commit little crimes will commit bigger ones, and that's why how he cleaned up New York back before it's turned to custard again by the globalists, how he cleaned it up was to have zero tolerance. The first thing he said you had to do was clean out the corruption within the police, clean that out, fix them up. And then they had a zero tolerance policy on crime, on even misdemeanors. They'd pull you over for that because they found if you commit a small misdemeanor, you'd commit a bigger one. I mean, you see it, don't you? You see these Marys driving around in cars with no warrant of fitness and registration. You know, they're the ones committing the crime. I asked a policeman one day, I said, who commits the crime and who causes the accidents? He says, Marys cause all the crime. That's what he said. Don't get angry at me. I'm just telling you what he said. Policeman, North Shore. He said, Maoris cause all the crime and Chinamen cause all the accidents. Old females, Chinamen. Old Chinese women. That covers everything, doesn't it? Old people, Chinese women cause all the accidents. Yeah, that's the truth of it. That's what no one's prepared to say, isn't it? That's why I don't work for anyone else except for me, because I'd be there today, gone tomorrow. They'd fire me just like that because they don't. You can't handle the truth. You can't handle it, boy. 14 minutes away from 8. I'll be gone at 8. Thank goodness you're probably saying. So that was good news with that guy, Letetti. He's going to pivot and launch that agency, recruitment agency, so he can't feed them all. He's actually going to get them into work. Well, I think that's a better idea. Good on you, mate. Excellent. And now, a college student pleads for more space as classes held in corridors. Really, that's just not on, is it? Rolleston College students... They wept, or one of them did, as she was told the education ministry staff about the state of the school, as she told the education ministry about the state of the school that she's in. And what have we got here? Now, armed defender squad briefing inadequate in fatal shooting. The IPC, the Independent Police Complaints Authority, has found that the this is the police watchdog, says that officers were justified in shooting Tex Witika more than 2 years ago, but poor management contributed to the chaotic standoff. Ah, yes, they should have got in and shot him quicker. A dairy worker's final moment before fatal stabbing revealed. Janik Patel grabbed a hockey stick and chased a knife-wielding attacker outside, apparently court files show. I thought he just got six stab wounds and survived, but no, Auckland dairy worker Janak Patel, who was stabbed to death after the robbery 16 months ago, chased the offenders with a hockey stick, according to the court documents released to Radio New Zealand, outlined the final moments of his life, who was killed outside the Rose Cottage Dairy in Sandringham in November 2022, sparking widespread protests and calls for more action from the government. On Wednesday, Hobson, who had previously entered a not guilty plea, not guilty, I stabbed him six times, but I'm not guilty, Your Honour. I don't think so. Changed his plea to guilty, good on you, to aggravated robbery and murder. When he appeared in the High Court in Auckland, he was charged alongside two other men who have pleaded not guilty and will stand trial in May and waste our money. The court documents released after Hobson's plea revealed for the first time Patel's final moments. Patel and his wife had moved to Auckland a week prior to his death to look after the Rose Cottage Superette in Sandringham while its owners were away in India. It was planned with the other offenders that Hobson was to enter the Superette armed with a knife to take cash and any other items he could. Hobson walked up and down Folds Avenue and the surrounding streets, taking several opportunities to observe Rose Cottage Superette, court documents show. Holding a brown paper bag, he entered a telephone booth directly outside the dairy, holding the phone up to his ear as vehicles and members of the public went by. At 8 p.m., Hobson pulled a black bandana up, covering the bottom half of his face, and ran into the dairy holding a knife and a brown paper bag. Hobson confronted Patel with a knife, causing him to flee into the back room. He took the cash register as well as a box of butane lighters and vapes before leaving the store. Patel ran after him, armed with a hockey stick from the back of the shop. He's a nice young man, Mr. Patel. Hobson put the cash register in a nearby recycling wheelie bin. As Patel approached, Hobson armed himself with a large tree branch and the knife, and Patel retreated, shouting and swinging the hockey stick at Hobson. Watch out for Indian hockey stick swingers. They're pretty good. The swinging of the stick created distance between the pair. Court documents revealed Hobson waited for Patel to swing once more before dropping the tree branch and lurching at him. Lunging at him. Patel was knocked to the ground as Hobson held him down and stabbed him at least three times. Hobson tried to wrestle the hockey stick from Patel's grasp, pulling him back to his feet and stabbing him a further three times. The final blow was to Mr. Patel's neck, causing him to fall to the ground once again. Patel used the wheelie bin in an attempt to get away from Hobson, who attempted to stab him once more. He collapsed after taking five steps backward towards the dairy. Hobson collected the bin and left the scene. Patel rose, staggering back to the shop, stopping several times as he on his way back. He collapsed once more, dying a short time later. A post-mortem examination confirmed that six stab wounds that Patel suffered, noting two on the left side of his chest wall and back, were rapidly fatal wounds. Poor guy. There you are. Yeah. Wellington Council are keen on alliance to plan a new water model. The mayor says the councils must work together to provide resilient water networks to deal with the population growth. They certainly must. Yes, they must. It is 9 minutes away from eight. And I wonder what really happened on that Latham flight. Apparently, the movement of the pilot's seat a focus of the probe. That's the focus of the probe of the LATAM Boeing flight, according to this report. The movement of the flight deck seat is a key focus into the probe, into the sudden mid-air dive by the LATAM Airlines Boeing 787 plane that left more than 50 people injured. Aviation industry publication The Air Current reported on Wednesday. The plane, which was heading from Sydney to Auckland on Monday, dropped abruptly before stabilising, causing those on board to be thrown about the cabin. Based on the available information, it was understood the seat movement was pilot-induced, not intentionally, the report said. Pilot-induced, not intentionally. Citing a senior airline safety official, the seat movement caused the nose-down angle of the aircraft, the publication said, citing another anonymous source who added the possibility of an electrical short, it might have cut some wires when it moved the seat forward, was also under review. Boeing is expected to release a message to 787 operators, 787 operators, regarding the incident. The Air Current reported, this is the publication, a fleet-wide issue could be involved, though it said the specific topic was not known to the in the publication. Boeing declined to comment on the report, obviously, instead referring Reuters to the investigating agencies. Chilean's aviation regulator, which is leading the probe, given it involves a Chilean airline. I thought it was Argentinian. It must be Chile. Flying in international airspace, said the investigation just got underway and its investigators had arrived in New Zealand. LATAM said it continued to work in coordination with the authorities to support the investigation and said that it would not be appropriate to comment on or speculate on what happened. LATAM is based in Chile, and the flight, which had 263 passengers and 9 crew members, was due to continue on to Santiago after stopping in Auckland. The cause of the flight's apparent sudden change in trajectory has not yet been explained. Safety experts say aeroplane accidents are caused by a cocktail of factors that need to be thoroughly investigated. New Zealand's Transport Accident Investigation Commission said on Tuesday it was seizing the cockpit voice recorder and flight data recorder of the flight, which would provide information about the conversation between the pilots and the plane's movements. I wonder what authority they have to do that, because it was, after all, an international airspace. I don't see how they could actually have the authority to do that. But they're doing it. 60 migrants die in a dinghy in the Mediterranean, apparently according to survivors. That's not so good. Well, don't leave. Stay where you are. Go and help rebuild your own country, your own Muslim country, instead of coming to ours. At least 60 migrants have died after a rubber dinghy ran into trouble in the Mediterranean Sea. According to survivors, the 25 survivors were picked up by the Ocean Viking, a vessel operating by the humanitarian group SOS Mediterranee. They told their rescuers that they had set off from Zawiya on the Libyan coast several days before being rescued. The engine of the dinghy broke down after 3 days, leaving the boat adrift without food or water. Very dumb. The survivors said that the victims included women and at least one child. They were believed to have died from dehydration, and don't last long without water, and hunger, not drowning. No cannibalism, went on. SOS, well, not that we've been reported to, not, they haven't said anything. SOS Mediterranee said the Ocean Viking team had spotted the dinghy, which set off last Friday with binoculars on Wednesday, and had staged a medical evacuation in cooperation with the Italian Coast Guard. It said that survivors were in very weak health condition and were all under medical care. Two of them were unconscious and in critical condition. They'd been flown to Sicily by helicopter for further treatment, the group added. The remaining 23 are still on board the Ocean Viking, along with more than 200 other migrants who were rescued from the other boats. The vessel is heading for a port in Ancona, another 4 days away, but the team has requested a closer port for safety. The people who were on the boat in distress, lost at sea for almost a week, ran out of water and food very quickly, according to the survivors. There we are. What else we got? Christchurch terror attack survivors finds, and the Green MP, Darlene Tana, suspended. Oh, no. Why that trouble? And you know what? They curse the Jews. They do. They're against Israel, defending itself against Muslim terrorism, against Hamas. You can't make a liar out of God. Don't curse the Jews. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. You curse the Jews, God will curse you. You bless the Jews, God will bless you. Green MP Darlene Tana suspended amid migrant exploitation claims. She's got the barcode under her chin. Green MP party Darlene Tana. Did I say Darlene before? She has been suspended following these allegations of migrant exploitation against her husband's company. The Green Party has confirmed to Radio New Zealand Tana was suspended on Thursday afternoon after questioning from staff. Staff reports two workers have lodged Employment Relations Authority claims against the e-bike business owned by Tana's husband, Christian Hoff Nielsen. More to come on that. Watch the space. They got something else. They put another little one in there. Schwarbeck replaces outgoing Greens. That's old news. 29-year-old Chloe Schwarbeck. She's a new Greens leader. And Nellie's baby, born in a psychiatric hospital. Oh, no. What's this one about? Oh, no. Can't read. It's just a movie, isn't it? Just a documentary or something. More than half of lung cancers are not diagnosed until after emergency department visit report. And it's not caused by the cancer smoking. It might be a contributing factor, but you'll find it. It's just a bad, healthy, unhealthy living. Vaccinations, all the things that they're running from. You bloody doctors, you bastards, you're killing us with your vaccines. And then people think that you're keeping us alive. You're not. You're keeping us ill. You're creating these, you're creating what I call permanent sort of invalids, functioning invalids. That's the word I was after. That's what you're creating. Functioning, you want us to be able to function so we can work, but we're sick and we've got to pay for our own medication. You buggers. How dare you? Killer. You make us sick right from the start. You jab the vitamin K, which is not vitamin K. It's some other rubbish. Call it vitamin K. It's not. It's fake. You bash that in. Jab that in. The baby's healed before you turn your back on them and they do that. And then what do? Then they just fill your baby up with toxins as if God needs your help. Just stay away. We don't vaccinate any animals on this farm. They're all healthy. We haven't lost any. We don't lose animals. Now, except for, when Grant doesn't give them enough water. I accidentally didn't realise a bull cock had gone and lost one. Could have lost all 10 of them. Little calf. Got them all back to health again now. They're all doing well. Rehydrated them. You like to pretend that you're keeping people alive with your pharmaceutical drugs, but you're not. You're poisoning them. Okay, it's nearly 8 o'clock. We'll go to, we haven't had any news out of Australia, and we have a lot of Australian listeners, so we'll have a look at the news from them, if I could find it. I think I've got it here. Yeah. Sky News from Aussie. I had it here before. Where has it gone now? Sky News. Here we go. Put that over there. Put Joe over there. Put Sky News there. Boy, I better find it. You better find it, mate. Yeah, I know, I can't find it. When was the last one there? So, yeah, here we go. I've got Sky News. Here we are. It's 8 o'clock. Here's the news from Sky News.
When news breaks.
Winds gusting 60 and 80 knots out there.
We take you there.
5,000 requests for help.
Live.
It's going to come up around about my waist if I continue to stand here.
First, with breaking news.
I opened the front door and thought, oh my God.
Trees that have fallen, cars that have been caught up in flooding water.
Anytime.
We're just going to take you live now to Parliament House.
Anywhere.
Live now to outer space by NASA.
Breaking news happens here. This
is Sky News.
Seven people have been found safe and well in WA's Great Victoria Desert. The group of three adults and four children, they were aged between 12 and 17, had been travelling to an Indigenous community on Sunday, but heavy rain had been battering the Nullarbor. The search and rescue operation was delayed until Wednesday because of flooding. 2 hours into the police plane mission, the group was spotted near one of their vehicles. New South Wales Premier Chris Minns will today announce a six-point plan to combat a rise in domestic violence. Government data reveals 143 people in the state have died in the past 5 years as a result of DV. And in the past year alone, 35,000 recorded cases in terms of assaults, 21,000 incidents of intimidation and harassment. So that was in 2023. The plan will involve putting greater focus on prevention, enhancing oversight and boosting women's economic safety and security. A new advisory body has also been created which will guide the government on future policy making. If this story has raised any concerns for you, you can contact the Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault Helpline on 1800 RESPECT. There are concerns Sydney motorists will have to pay extra in tolls if the state government decides to impose two-way charges on harbour crossings. According to Nine newspapers, more than 100,000 northbound trips are made on the bridge and tunnel every day. That's a section at the moment which is not tolled. A review this week suggested bi-directional tolling on the CBD to make it fairer for all Sydney toll users. Modelling shows more than $350 million a year could be raised. Theoretically, that could be put out there to make other tolls cheaper. We'll see. A crackdown on youth crime will soon be elevated to the national stage. The opposition leader, Peter Dutton, announcing his plans to propose a post and boast offence for young offenders who brag about their crimes online, as already seen in Queensland. The former Queensland police officer says it's usually up to the states to deal with street crime. As the issue spirals out of control all across the country, though, it's time, he says, for the federal government to step up. Vladimir Putin says Russia is ready to use nuclear weapons if there is a threat to his country's sovereignty or independence. In an interview on state television, the Russian leader described US President Joe Biden as a veteran politician who fully understands the dangers of an escalation in tensions. He claimed Russia's nuclear capabilities are more advanced than the West's. For the second time in a week, climate activist Greta Thunberg has been forcibly removed from the Swedish parliament. The 21-year-old was one of dozens of environmental campaigners blocking entrances to the parliament building, protesting against political inaction on climate change. Police removed individuals from the sit-down protest, driving them away in a van.
Staying across Australia's local news when you're overseas has never been easier. For important headlines, Travelling Aussies stream Australia Channel. $6 a month with no lock-in contract. Sign up now for a free week-long trial.
It's 4 minutes past 8 o'clock. Good morning and welcome along to the program, but I'm just leaving now. Let's look at the extremes in weather and Whittianga, 19.9 degrees. Culverdon, 4.3. At the moment, Castle Point, the windiest with 43 kilometres of wind. Rotorua has 6.4 millimetres of rain. Temperatures right across the main centres. Chatham Islands, 13 degrees. Stewart Islands, 7 degrees. 6 degrees in Invercargill. 9 in Dunedin. Queenstown has 8. Timaru, 12. Trans-Joseph, 8. Westport, 10. Nelson's on 13 degrees. Blenheim has 11. And Christchurch, 5 degrees. Chilly there this morning. Looking at the bottom of the North Island, Wellington, 14, along with Masterton. Also Palmerston North. New Plymouth has 13 degrees, Napier 16, Rotorua and Taupo 13 and 15 degrees, Gisborne 16 degrees, Tauranga 17, Hamilton dropped a bit there, 14 degrees, and Auckland's the same as Tauranga, 17 degrees, Whangarei 17 also, Kaitaia no reading this morning. Who knows? Short forecast for all of New Zealand, valid until midnight tonight, for Northland to Whanganui, also for the Coromandel, Bay of Plenty and Central High Country, and Gisborne and Hawke's Bay. Periods of rain, briefly heavy, easing from the south this afternoon. Manawatu to Wellington, also for the Wairarapa. Cloudy with scattered rain in Manawatu this at first. Showers developing elsewhere this evening, some possibly heavy and thundery. For Marlborough and Canterbury, rain developing in Canterbury this morning, in Marlborough this afternoon, with cold southerlies. Thunderstorms possible for Marlborough this afternoon and evening, and then rain easing from the south. For Nelson, Buller and Westland, rain spreading north this morning, possibly heavy for a time, clearing to fine spells from the south from this afternoon. For Fiordland, Southland and Otago, showers and also snow down to about 600 metres for a time this morning, showers clearing Otago this afternoon. And for the Chatham Islands, periods of rain. It is 6 minutes past 8. Thank you very much for joining me. I've had a ball. I hope you have too. I'll see you again possibly Monday or Tuesday. In the meantime, we're back to the music here at The Wireless on the 88.1 FM.
The fact that he is able to brush these things off, they keep coming after him with all these different things, and none of them have really taken him out yet, and so they're just furious about it.
Excuse me. I know your question. It's up to the governors. Go ahead, please.
Quiet.
I told them when they put this guy here, it's nothing but trouble. He's a showboat. If you keep talking, I'll leave, and you can have it out with the rest of these people.
Now, another hour of the best of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and noughties. This is The Wireless.